This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. On the show today, we're speaking with Jamie Blaustein. He is the co-founder and CEO of the Sylvia Braffman Mental Health Center, a world-class dual diagnosis treatment center with a mental health focus founded by widely recognized thought leaders in mental health and substance abuse disorders. And Mr. Blaustein, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Eric, thank you very much for having me. Really grateful to be on.
Yes, sir, and thanks for your time. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So if you would, tell us about your personal journey and how you came to be the CEO of the Sylvia Braffman Mental Health Center. Let's start there.
Sure. So in a nutshell, I'll try to be concise here. I'm from New Jersey originally, right outside of Manhattan. Really good kid growing up. I was class president every year, prom king, all this good stuff going for me. And when I went to the University of Michigan for undergrad, things got very bad very quickly. Pretty much immediately, I started struggling with substance abuse, mental health issues, primarily anxiety and depression. And that pretty much started a journey through 7 rehabs, 5 arrests, a lot of internal pain and unmanageability for both me and my family. And when I was 21, I was sent to my 4th rehab in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. It was called Destination Hope. And that's where I met my current partner, Ben Braffman. Ben was the founder of Destination Hope. And I was not yet ready to get clean. He actually kicked me out of treatment. And it took another 3 years or so. But when I was 24, I finally got it. And the result of that was all of the blessings of recovery and mental wellness really started coming to fruition. I started sponsoring guys. Slowly but surely, my life came together. I started feeling better. And eventually, I went to business school. I got my MBA at Duke University. Had an amazing 2 years there. And eventually, went to Wall Street, where I was an investment banker at Credit Suisse. So Ben called me. This is 11 years after he kicked me out, called me in January of last year and said, hey, I sold Destination Hope. I want to start something a little bit more mental health focused. Do you have any interest in being involved? Really didn't plan on leaving New York, didn't plan on leaving Wall Street. One thing led to another. We started talking every day, and it became very clear to me that my primary purpose is to help others. And I wanted an expanded platform to be able to do that. So we raised some capital. Ben is the chief clinical officer, back to wearing that hat, which he's so amazing at. And I naturally slid in as the CEO, as one of the co-founders, and as somebody with a business background, the background in strategy and finance, but also a patient advocate, because I've been in 7 of these myself, for better or for worse. So that's how we got to where we are today.
That is pretty awesome stuff right there, and really do appreciate your sharing that from a personal perspective as well. How is the Sylvia Braffman Mental Health Center different from other centers in the space?
So I'll boil it down to a couple different things. Number one, the story that I just told you, I say this with no ego whatsoever. Like, it's an amazing sort of God-inspired sort of spirit of the universe, come full circle story with Ben and I coming together. And what I'll say is the main differentiator is our clinical and medical backbone. Ben is recognized as a behavioral health expert and really an authority in this space. And he is very hands-on with the treatment, and finally back to doing what he's so great at. On the medical side, we have Dr. Rick Seeley, who also known nationally and just fantastic. Princeton educated, former psychiatrist for the Miami Dolphins, and a whole host of doctors that work with him as well. So really, really strong clinical and medical backbone. I would say another differentiator here is the small, intimate nature of our treatment. Okay, we have 18 beds. We have a really, really strong culture and community that is largely inspired by that intimate nature. I'll say, too, our mental health primary focus. There's a lot of quote-unquote treatment centers out there that say that, and they don't really mean it. What they mean is, hey, we're substance abuse treatment, but yeah, we can deal with your mental health stuff too. And we recognize the major gap out there in good mental health PHP level care. And there's a lot of people that are really suffering, especially in the last couple of years. And so we wanted to sort of own that. That's what we are: anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, borderline. We deal with all of that primarily, and we can also treat addiction, in my opinion, as well as anyone. And then the last thing I'll say is the family program, second to none, in my opinion, run by Ben himself. We like to say it's a non-negotiable that the family is involved in treatment. We sort of view them being in a virtual wing of the Sylvia Braffman Mental Health Center. And while that maybe on paper isn't a differentiator, I can tell you that the magic in the room on those Thursday nights during family night is pretty tremendous.
Well, I tell you, the way you describe that certainly points out you are a difference maker in the space. Really do appreciate the details shared there and the feedback. Now, also, what ways can family and friends encourage and support someone that they love to get treatment for mental health disorders and addiction?
I mean, look, my experience is that I don't surrender, I get surrendered. And so for me, it was at, 24 years old. I finally had that shift from my head to my heart, and I knew that I could not think my way out of this anymore. So I do firmly believe that that internal surrender needs to happen within. Having said that, there are actions that family and friends can take to sort of exacerbate, or I should say expedite rather, that process. Number one is not enabling the person who's suffering. It's a tricky thing because on one hand, they're really suffering and struggling. On another hand, by enabling and coddling, it can often prolong their illness. And so being honest, direct, and not enabling is important. By the same token, being emotionally available and letting them know that, there is help out there and they're going to support them if they go ahead and proceed with getting that help. Also normalizing it. Frankly, a lot of people have stuff, quote unquote. And I think it's important to state that you're not defective. You're not uniquely bad or immoral or anything else. That this is just sort of the human experience. And normalizing that and letting them know that getting help is not a sign of weakness is critical as well.
Also, to add on to that, and we'd love your feedback and your thoughts on this, what are some of the biggest mistakes family and friends make in these regards, and what do you wish people knew about supporting someone that's going through a mental disorder or addiction?
Yeah, number one is kind of what I said a moment ago, enabling, right? So, for instance, we have potential patient. We've been talking to the family for a while. She is a massive enabler, and God bless her. She's the sweetest woman, but she has financial means, and so every couple of days the daughter calls and says, I need a hotel room, and she'll call us and say, hey, she's go get her, like we want her to come to you. And I say, well, where is she? And she says, I'm not sure. I think in the Miami area. And I'm like, there's not much we can do. A, she has to come on her own will. B, I don't know where she is. And so she keeps doing this over and over. And I've said, listen, you can pay for a room for a night to get her off the street. But the follow-up to that has to be, I'm not going to pay for anything beyond that. And you need to call us so that we can go there the following day when she's out on the street at that point. So it's tough. I get it. I used to say to my mom, you'll never know what it's like to be an addict, and that's true in some sense. But what's also true is that I won't really know what it's like to be a codependent family member who's struggling with somebody who, on one hand, loves them, on the other hand, is angry at them, on the other hand, is sad, right? It's this sort of perfect storm of conflicting emotions. And I think that the challenge and the goal is to not enable and to, you know, lead the horse to water, if you will.
Really some important and impactful input from you, and really do appreciate that. Today we're speaking with Jamie Blaustein. He is the co-founder and CEO of the Sylvia Brafman Mental Health Center, a world-class dual diagnosis treatment center with a mental health focus, founded by widely recognized thought leaders in mental health and substance abuse disorders. And he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Mental Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what is something that you wish people would know about seeing a therapist?
You know, I think it's over time, you know, for better or for worse, mostly for better, but unfortunately, due to some of the wrong reasons, or I should say unfortunate events, mental health is really in the public ether. You know, whether it's Michael Phelps or Simone Biles, or, you know, there's been a lot of things that have brought to light the fact that we all struggle in some form or another, and it has been normalized over time. And frankly, that's a good thing. So I would say, again, normalizing that it is, again, the human experience that we're all going through, and seeing a therapist is quite normal, to be honest. I would say framing it as a strength, not a weakness. To voluntarily go seek help is an act of humility. And humility is strength, not weakness. So I wish people not only were, you know, rationally aware of the benefits that could come from seeing a therapist, but would sort of wear it as a sign of pride that they're doing what's in their best interest, and they're taking a stand and doing the right thing. Lastly, I would say it's important to know that, like I said, everyone has stuff. The degree to which they have stuff really varies. But frankly, when I'm able to sit across from somebody and have an intimate conversation about what's really going on, having shared some of my own experience, people tend to open up, and we're all dealing with doubt, insecurity, anxiety, some form of depression. And you know, the other thing I would just say is that fit is very important. And I think modality is as well. So sometimes, you know, you can go see a therapist and it feels like a good fit. And then, you know, 4 or 5 sessions in, you know, it's just, you're sort of plateauing. So I think it's important to, if you're going to fail, quote unquote, you know, fail fast, right? Move on to somebody that you can have a more sustainable relationship with. And in terms of modality, of course, there's talk therapy, there's CBT, there's EMDR to deal with trauma and reprocessing specific memories. So being able to hone in on a modality that makes sense in light of a person's symptoms is also critical.
Another question for you, and kind of shifting gears a little bit here. We saw that Sylvia Brafman has a career mentorship program. Get into some of the details on that, if you would.
Yeah, I designed this actually based on my own experience. You know, I was in 7 rehabs. We focus on the internal work, which makes sense, right? Clinical, you know, spiritual, mental, and that's why you go to treatment typically. But I always had this looming fear of, like, what am I going to do when I get out? And what, you know, that looming question, right? Like, what am I supposed to do in life? And so my philosophy is that, sure, the internal work is the most important thing, and frankly, that's the prerequisite to having any sort of external or career success. But there's no reason why we can't start to address that. And so this career mentorship program supplements the clinical work that the patients are doing, and it's effectively a 5-phase process run by me directly, where we go through what needs to get done in order to navigate that career and or educational path forward. And it really starts with an intimate conversation in my office, me and the patient talking about their past experiences, their education, potential obstacles in their way, giving me some context. And and enabling me to sort of help them envision what the path forward looks like. And so we look at sectors and functions of interest, right? Whether it's real estate, healthcare, finance, you know, from a sector standpoint and from a function standpoint, you know, what do you like to do? Do you like dealing with people? Do you like being in a room and putting your headphones in and just cranking away all day and, you know, doing analytical work? Do you like manual labor, right? And then we eventually marry those sectors and those functions and we define five or so career paths. And at this point, I bring in a Sylvia Brafman career fellow, about 20 or so folks who I've crossed paths with through my MBA at Duke, through Wall Street, people that whose careers I really respect and who have a really strong desire and ability to help others. So at that point, they come in and they help me prepare them to go out into the world and to do this. So that involves networking, both, you know, folks' natural network, LinkedIn. We look at job boards. We shape up the resume. We help them frame the story so that when they sit in an interview, they're comfortable telling their story, which often involves some sort of hiccup or track record gap that needs to be addressed. And we mock interview and we get them to a point where they can go out in the world and do this, and all the while continuing with the internal work that they're doing. But I think I'm very blessed to have been able to sort of right the ship career-wise, and I've learned a lot of tough lessons that I've packaged into this program, and I want to be able to help people with the career capital that I have, and I know I can do that. So I think it's an additional component to our program that makes it really special.
Mr. Blaustein, really great to have had you with us, and I'm sure listeners, if they do not know someone that needs the program now or even for themselves, they're certainly making a note for sure to refer to this in the future. If you would, in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a final word or takeaway or anything else you'd like to point out as we conclude today?
I'm just really grateful to be on, to have this platform, to be able to share the great work that we're doing. And the one thought I'll say is that we don't do all this work to just white knuckle it and to get by and to like be okay and to just survive. We do all this to get out and be part of life. And I've been really lucky to have that happen to me. And so my hope is that people don't have to come to a center like mine for they can come to ours and then never come back again. You know, this is about being part of life and living life to the fullest. And it's really a means to an end in that sense. So really grateful. Eric, thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. If you would, before you take off, hit that website where listeners can get further details online.
Sure, yeah. Our website is www.sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, Brafman, Brafman.com. Also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We have a nice presence online. So,
and of course, listeners, as always, we'll include the link within the show notes of this broadcast and or links. Mr. Blaustein, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Jamie Blaustein, the co-founder and CEO of the Sylvia Brafman Mental Health Center, a world-class dual diagnosis treatment center with a mental health focus, founded by widely recognized thought leaders in mental health and substance abuse disorders. And for all the details, visit sylviabrafman.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.